Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a grandfather return to his family to say goodbye just hours before his actual death? That's what we're going to investigate today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want to keep us on the air, well, hey, we are a listener-supported program, and we greatly appreciate all of our supporters over the years. We call them EPPs, Extra Podcast People. When you become an EPP, you get a bonus episode of the show every week that's exclusively for EPPs. You get access to the archive of more than 320 bonus episodes. It just keeps getting added to. You also get access to our advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released to the public ad-free. It's another nice thing. No commercials in there. You also get our ebook, our audiobook right there, a $30 value. Each of them like $15 if you buy them on Amazon or Audible, but you get those included. You can even get a month free of membership if you sign up for the annual membership. You can do it on either platform, whatever one you like, ghostpodcast.com. That's where you go to the website. You download the audio as an MP3. You can listen to it on any device, desktop, whatever it may be. Patreon, if you use Patreon, it's a great app. You can stream it right off of the app. Super easy to use. Both of the same content. It's a matter of choice. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It is the weekend edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. And of course, with us always on the weekend, it is our kid-friendly edition. Still scary stories, but, you know, we watch the bad words and such. Harper, of course, joining us.
Yeah, and do I have a funny story for you?
What is that?
I got stuck in the chicken run yesterday.
You got stuck in a chicken run yesterday?
Yeah.
Now, first of all, we should explain to our listeners exactly what a chicken run is, because not everyone is chicken run literate. I wasn't chicken run literate until a couple weeks ago when Mom said we're building a chicken run. So there's a coop, which is the building. That's like the building they live in. And they have, its's walls, it's doors. Their nests are in there. That's where they lay their eggs. It's where they're safe at night. But the run itself is like a structure. It's like a screened-in porch, if you will, with a roof.
Yeah, it's like their own porch, but it's not hanging off the side of a building.
Well, it's hanging off the side of the coop.
But it's not like there's a cliff.
You're right. It's connected to the ground.
Exactly.
But there's a swinging door that locks automatically when you get into the chicken coop. And we just put it together, and we had a string attached to the latch, so you can open the latch if you get in there, but we just finished this last week, and it's a temporary fix. We're going to get like a metal chain so it doesn't break. However, you were in there yesterday, and what happened to the string?
The string apparently came off of the thing.
So you were in there, the latch string broke, and in turn, you were locked in the chicken run outside with the chickens.
Yeah, and lucky for me, I already had an escape plan planned in my head, but it took for a little, a couple of minutes for me to think, okay, is this actually going to work?
So what did you do?
I went through the chicken square.
Now, the chicken square is the hole that they come out of their house, walk down a little ramp to go into the outside run that's screened in. And this is a fairly tiny hole. It fits a chicken, but I'm not usually an 8-year-old girl, but it seemed to have worked for you.
Somehow.
What did the chickens think as you were trying to get through the hole into their house?
I think they were thinking like, what the clock?
Was it difficult to get through the chicken hole?
No.
Where you got right through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a noodle in a giant ring.
Okay. You just got right through it. We are working on fixing that so that does not repeat itself. But you got yourself out. Good thinking, MacGyver. That was great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You could have gotten stuck in there, then gotten pecked to death by chickens. That would have been a really bad way to go.
Chickens are too nice.
Yeah, they would have just talked to you for a while. But
yeah, all they would do is cluck at me.
Yeah. Let's go to our first story here on the program today. 855-853-4802 is our number. So this is basically a couple of stories wrapped up into one that involves the same side of my family. This happened between 2004 and 2005. Cannot remember the exact year. I was sleeping in my bed, laying on my side with my back to the door of the room and my face facing a wall and an alarm clock. I awoke at around 3:30 a.m. and my alarm clock was emitting a red glow from the LEDs. This alarm clock was a digital one with red LEDs, but they're not powerful enough to light up a whole room. But on this night, they did. When I opened my eyes, I found it odd that the room had a red glow, and I was trying to make sense of it when I felt someone or something touch my lower back. At that moment, I jumped up on my bed and landed on my back and looked around but saw no one there. The rest of the night, the glow remained, but nothing more. I guess I drifted back to sleep and it never happened again. This alarm clock belonged to an uncle of mine that passed away in the beginning of March of 2003, and I don't know that whatever I felt had to do with him and the fact that the alarm clock belonged to him. When I think about my uncle, the night before he passed away, I dreamed that his three daughters had come to Puerto Rico. This is where all of this happened, and were crying because he had passed away. Fast forward 3 years later, and his father, my grandfather on my mother's side, was sick in bed, and my grandmother decided to take care of him at their home. My mother asked me to go with her to my grandparents' house, but I declined, mainly because I was always afraid that he might die while I was there. I was at my house that night and decided to watch some TV, and after a while I found myself dozing off, and I got woken up by the remote control falling on my hand. When I started dozing off, the remote control was in between my hands, and I was lying on my side watching TV. When I woke up after the remote fell, my hands were on the exact same position, but the remote was on top of my right hand, and there was no one in the room but myself. The day after this happened, I woke up to shower and prepare to go to work when my mother knocked on the bathroom door and told me that she was going to my grandparents' house because he had passed away. I always felt that it was my grandfather letting me know that he was crossing over to the other side and that he was saying goodbye to me, but it actually happened 11 hours or so before he passed away. This happened almost 3 years to the day when my uncle passed. He passed on 3603 and my grandfather on 32806. The alarm clock also passed in 2010 after the button stopped working and you could not snooze or stop the alarm. That's my story. Thank you guys. Love the show.
Well, it's good that the grandpa got a chance to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like this demon standing in the corner of your room.
That's always a plus when it's actually the grandfather. What do you think about the alarm clock and the timing and all of that?
I think that was his way of saying, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to say goodbye. So, bye.
Do you look for signs like that sometimes? I mean, I know you really don't have a lot of experience with death or anything like that, but just signs of other things of you know, maybe you're on the right path or this was meant to be or things like that where... Little, I don't want to call them omens, but little signs, if you will, that sometimes show up that are almost like too coincidental to be a coincidence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No. Well, I understand what you're saying, but it just never happened to me.
Okay, so you get what I'm saying. You just don't have those experiences is what you're
exactly.
saying. Okay, okay.
Except for this house. Because
you
and Mom like to take pictures for the show and creepy pictures like that. And it's just like we stumbled upon this house and it went on sale that day.
Mm-hmm. And then the dog that came over to us that looked just like Mom's dog from childhood. And that was kind of a weird sign. The picture back here, not the one I took, but that painting of Prairie Grove and... The interesting story behind that we've shared on other shows. So those are some examples of kind of interesting, too good to be coincidences. One could write them off as coincidences if you don't believe in coincidences, but there just seems to be a lot.
I know. But when I said no, I meant like me personally.
But they don't happen to you.
Exactly.
Not that you don't understand it. It's just you haven't had a whole lot of those happen to you personally.
Yeah.
Well, buckle up, kid. You're only eight. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our next letter says, I and my two children, daughter 6 years old and son 4 years old, moved into a 4-bedroom home. We were excited, and it was huge for the three of us. Moving in, I did not feel any bad vibes from the house. It was cozy. We're making it our home. After being in the house for a couple of weeks, it was late. I fixed the kids a snack, and my daughter sat in the kitchen table while my son and I sat in the living room unpacking more boxes. I could see her from the open floor plan with her earphones in, and for some strange reason, at that very moment I looked up at her, she investigated the kitchen area and immediately jumped up from the table and ran to me. She told me she saw a tall man with what she did with what she described as to be wearing a robe, like a robe with a farmer's hat, and his head was down. I believed her. We were scared. So to make her at ease, I called her dad over, and he sat at the house with us that night and slept in the living room with the kids. A few weeks in, more activity started to happen at the house. It was like the more I unpacked and moved things around in the house, the more things began to increase. I've had previous paranormal experiences before and could tell something was not normal. I felt trapped because I had nowhere to go. I could not move by. It was too expensive. Just kept praying things would change and we could start to enjoy the house. It was a constant feeling of someone watching me in the house. My kids refused to go into the den. They'd follow me everywhere in the house, except in the den. I was constantly hearing people talking in the house when no one was there but me. One evening, the kids were gone and I was home alone. I was sitting in my room and I could hear chatter in the other room. I was sitting in my bed facing the bedroom door when the chatter started. I got out of bed slowly and I peeped out of the room. And exactly what happened was very hard to explain. I didn't know exactly what I would encounter. Stepped into the hall and started checking all the rooms in the house. When I got to my daughter's room, the chatter stopped. This time my daughter was not sleeping in her room. By then they were always in bed with me, which is how I wanted it. Nothing or no one was in the room. Just as I turned to go back down the hall, the same man my daughter saw walked past into the den on the far end of the hall. I immediately bolted for the front door. When I opened the door, my kids were at the door with their aunt. I was terrified. But at that moment, I did not want to scare them. So I pretended like all was well, and I got them in. They were telling me about what they did and sharing their candy with me. That night, I did not sleep a wink. I knew something was happening, but I had, based on what I had seen. I also knew he was not talking to himself. A few weeks went by. I'd been dating a new guy for a while, and things were great. Finally, I invited him over to meet the kids, and things were great. There were minor weird things happening, but I did my best to ignore it. Got the kids' rooms all set up after months of being in the house, and I think they were ready to start sleeping in their rooms. They started out sleeping together in my son's room, and then they would sleep in my daughter's room. When my boyfriend and I decided to move in, things were great. It did not last long. Both of us would be in our room, and my daughter would break out screaming. We'd jump up and run to the room, and she'd say something touched her, or something moved her stuffed animals, or she could hear the chatter. One night I was lying in bed awake, and she sent me a text from her phone. She was too afraid to scream out, so she texted me, "Please come, something is in here." I jumped up without waking my boyfriend. She was in bed, terrified. She told me she knew something was in the room, so she tapped on the wall once. It tapped on the wall once. She tapped a significant combination, and it mimicked the exact same tap. She was scared. I climbed in bed and held her for the night. We both fell asleep together. My boyfriend did not believe in ghosts. I tried telling him what was happening, but he just blew it off. I was scared at this point. My son never reported anything. As I was lying in bed one morning with my back turned, I heard a male come in with boots. I thought it was my boyfriend, so I pretended to sleep just to roll over and playfully surprise him. The boots were walking around in the room, but when I rolled over, I saw no one. I called him, and he told me he had been gone from the house for hours now. I was going crazy. I needed to find help. I made up my mind that night that I would clean the home. I looked online and started pouring salt around the doors and windows of the home. What I did not know is what I was trying to keep out was already in. I was in bed, and it was angry with me for what I did, I guess. It smacked my leg so hard that it shook my entire body. It was getting out of control. My daughter was not sleeping. I was not sleeping. What really pushed me was a couple of weeks later, my mom and brother came to stay. My little brother, who was 15 years old, stayed in my daughter's room while my mom made a pallet in the living room with my cousin, 17 years, and the kids. Next morning, he came into my room and said, "Casey is not lying. There is something in her room. It would not let me sleep." I broke down because my daughter was suffering for almost 2 years now. We all researched the internet that day and found a sorcerer. I contacted him through email. I never mentioned what was happening. I said, "I'm experiencing paranormal activity in my home. Can you help me?" I waited for a reply all day. I couldn't sleep. I think it was the middle of the night when I got a reply and I was awake. He said, "Yes, I can help." He instructed me to take a picture of my home and everyone that lives in the home. The following morning, I did just that. My boyfriend was skeptical. He really did not want to participate, but he did. I sent the photos and again I waited. He replied and told me there were no demons or dark entities in the home. However, there were three human spirits attached to the little girl. I did not know what that meant. I didn't know there were different types of ghosts, really. I was not sure what human spirits even meant. He said one male walked to the home while another male and female remained in one room, which was my daughter's room. I woke up the next morning, and I could feel a difference in the home. He emailed me and told me the home was clear. He said one spirit was extremely difficult to remove, which must be the male that roamed the house. There was no more activity in the room after that. We stayed 5 years in the home before moving out. We started to feel better in the home after a few weeks. My daughter was sleeping, and so was I.
Well, that's good at the end that they got sleep again.
And, you know, that's, you know, part of what they were certainly striving for. But I think more so than anything is just, you know, peace.
Yeah. You definitely don't want a ghost that's going to slap your leg at night.
No. What's interesting to me is this thing that seems to be happening online now where people are able to send in or almost virtually cleanse a house. In this case, you know, it sounds like it worked. It sounded like the power of whatever this individual was doing. I know they use the term sorcerer, which sounds very Dungeons and Dragons-ish. I don't think I've ever even used that word on this show before. But, you know, I think there might be a different term that was meant to be used. But someone who can help with this, someone who can, a clairvoyant or something of that nature that could see what was actually going on.
Paranormal exterminator.
That's a good way. Yeah, a paranormal exterminator that does it virtually. I know there's, I don't know how you exactly pick one online. I don't know that there's exactly Yelp reviews for that out there of, you know, this one worked better than the others. Maybe there is, and I'm just not aware. But it's one of the few times I've heard a story where simply over email and sending pictures to someone that their home was cleansed or calmed without the paranormal exterminator showing up and making an actual visit to the home. But interesting, and I'm glad to hear that it did calm down, though. And that's, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily the method. It's the end game and what actually happens.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's go over to a phone call and hear a real ghost story, shall we?
We shall.
So what I want to share with you guys now is my childhood house. I remember the first day we actually moved in, my mom and my stepdad, they never really even told us that we were moving. I just kind of said, "Get in the car and I'm going to go for a surprise." And they took us to this house. And we're walking around looking. And I remember I was young. I was six. Yeah, I was six because I had went into kindergarten at the new school about mid-year. And I remember going in there and seeing everything, and it looked so new and fresh, and everything was fine, you know. And for the next couple years, 2-3 years, till I was about 8, right around when I started to see that lady, that's when, like, things started to happen. And I remember it started with footsteps. At first, we would hear footsteps throughout the house on the ceiling, and it actually sounded like it was moving. You can actually follow it. I remember following it from the room, hearing the footsteps walking in circles, and then I remember it could start. You could hear it make its way towards, you know, the other side of the house. And I remember if I would follow it, and we would all do this, you know. But for some reason, it never happened when my stepdad was there. But we could follow it all the way to the laundry room. We could literally follow it. And, you know, we would, being young and scared, we didn't want to, but my mom and, as you know, we're all there, she would peek into the attic and see if anyone was there. Another time that it was happening, my mom told us to run outside. This was all during the day too. She told us to run outside and look at the roof. It was a one story house. So I went to the front. My brother went to the back of the house to look on the roof and see if somebody was walking around. But nobody was there, and there was still walking going on inside. My mom and my sister were inside. So we knew it wasn't somebody walking on the roof. And you would hear sometimes what sounded like a loud bang in the attic and dragging. It sounded like something was being dragged. But anyways, that was normal. That was normal as far as the walking on the roof or the ceiling, whatever it was. And things just kind of started to progress. And then we would start to hear voices. I would hear my brother's, my mom's voice. So me and my brother, we'd be sitting there playing the game. My sister was sitting there reading her book. And we would hear our names get called. We hear, Richard, Jesse, come here now. I mean, just like that, loud. And it sounded just like my mom. You know, so I remember looking back at my sister and me and my brother kind of thinking we were in trouble. My sister's sitting there with a smirk on her face. And she liked to see us get in trouble. So anyways, me and my brother got up, went to the room. Mind you, where we heard it right where we were at. My mom was all the way in her room, which was kind of on the other side of the house. Anyway, so we go anyways, and we, you know, go to my mom. She's sitting there reading her book too. And we're like, what, mom? She's like, I didn't call you. And we're like, mom, yes, you did. You called us. You know, we both heard you. And she's like, I did not call you guys. What do you guys want? You know, we were telling her, mom, we were pleading with her, telling her, yes, you called us. You called us. When we were nagging at her so much that, you know, she would get mad. She's like, you know, she would just tell us to go, you know. So anyways, that would happen a lot. So my mom even heard it a few times. One time she had went to go get groceries, came back. We were all at school. She goes in the house, starts putting the groceries away, and she hears down the hallway in one of the rooms, you know, mom. And she said it sounded like my brother. And she's like, what? Nothing. So she just kept putting stuff away. And then as she was putting stuff away, it kind of started to register, like, wait, no. She's like, you know, he's supposed to be in school. And she hears it again, you know, mom. And that's when she was like, okay, you know what? You know, she says, what, Richard? And, you know, at that point, it had clicked, you know, he's supposed to be at school. And then she said that she heard it right next to her. When she heard it right next to her, she literally left everything right there and walked outside and waited for my stepdad to get there. But that was like stuff that would happen a lot. We had a lot of people that would come and stay with us, you know, it was family, relatives who either were just getting here from Mexico, you know, starting to build their life. They would come and stay with us. But every single family that went in there, they all experienced something, and multiple families there had to, mind you, there are families, but I mean, you know, intermediate family, I guess. They would stay, and every single, like, majority of them would experience stuff, and they would end up leaving because of it. Countless things, man. The faucets. So a lot of times too, the washer would turn on, the dishwasher would turn on. Now those, you know, you can say electrical, you know, some type of electrical surge or something, you know, but along with that, the faucet would turn on. And this would all happen, you know, right in front of us. You know, we didn't know what it was. We knew something was up, but it was kind of just something that we lived with. We've had pastors come to the house and to, you know, bless the house to see, you know, if maybe that would help. There were times where my mom, you know, her and my stepdad, they would, you know, get in an argument, and my mom would go to the back living room. And, you know, this was the 90s. Anyway, she would go to the back living room because we had two different living rooms. She'd go to the back one and sit there and smoke. For some reason, my mom didn't mind the dark. And so she was sitting there in the dark, you know, just kind of smoking her cigarette. And she heard walking from the door, from the outside, from the door that goes to the outside, walking, you know, towards her. And she just was completely, you know, thrown off. She was just kind of looking. And as it was getting closer, she immediately reached over and turned on the light. And she didn't see anybody there. That was like, I don't know if she took it as a sign or what, but she went back and, you know, her and my stepdad made amends. It was always, too, you know, in the middle of the night, as I said, you know, it was always like either pitch black or sometimes you'd have a little bit of the moonlight coming in. But it was like always like a shadow. It always felt like there was like a shadowy figure always present there. You know, maybe mind playing tricks on you. I don't know. But it always seemed like there was some type of shadowy figure there. What else? I mean, my one of the families that came in, they had these little toy cars. Like, you know, little ones that you kind of put together yourself. And you have them up by foot display. And the mom, she was in her room. She noticed that the car was moving back and forth. She thought that was weird, you know, so she got a little scared and went out and told my mom about it. My mom went back in there and just to look. And you know, a car's not going to go back and forth. Just to understand one way. But there were lots of other situations. You know, I'd have to think them through to remember them. There were also times, so it was two times where they actually, I don't know, I guess you can call them spirits, ghosts, whatever. They made themselves look like my tía, which is my aunt. And, I guess that's for another story, but, I'll leave these voicemails, you know, hopefully frequently as I remember. But yeah, well, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you for sharing your story and experience with us on the show.
Okay. Anything is like mimicking a family members or just like anyone else that's in your house or living in them. That is not a human ghost. That is something completely different.
What is it?
It's either a demon or something else.
Something else. What would the something else be?
I don't know what the name of it, but it's something else.
Doppelganger?
Is that what it's called?
When something is mimicking something? Yeah, I mean, it depends if it's like you're seeing it. There's a version of it where like someone sees someone that looks just like somebody else and it kind of acts in the way of the other, but it's not a person. And it just kind of, you know, you talk to it for 5 minutes, think you just talked to the person, you look the other way and they're gone. And you're like, well, where did that person go? And then you see the person again and it's the real person. But then who was that other one you were talking to? That's like a doppelganger.
Yeah, it's like. And it's not really something that should be doing that because there's like if it's like a really bad person that you're trying to mimic, mm-hmm. that can go wrong.
It can go wrong very fast. And it's scary when the idea that that something is out there and it's trying to take on the persona of something else. That's can be extremely confusing. And number one, you're just trying to figure out what you're dealing with. And when you throw that into the mix of the mimicking, it can make it even more confusing and difficult.
Yeah, and also it could be stealing some information that you really don't want to tell anyone else.
Oh, so you think like sometimes it can get in and take the information of someone's that they're holding within them?
Yeah.
And then share it outside? That's an interesting perspective. And I think it can happen too.
Or just know it and then screw and then like mess with it a little bit.
Yeah, and use it against the individual.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective on it. Thank you for sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, support it. Keep it on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. Sign up for a full year and get 1 month free. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.